If you are talking about it, he's talking about it. And if he's talking about it, it's worth talking about. Richard Dixon on Birmingham's Real Talk. Talk 99.5.
I'm talking about the Southeast number one pre-owned work truck dealer, Work Trucks. Downtown at 2324 3rd Avenue South. You go there, you find 100 and more trucks on the lot of all different shapes, sizes, kinds, makes, and models. They're quite gorgeous. Every one of them has been through a 120-point inspection. Every one of them has got a great low price on it, and every one of them is painted white and ready for your logo. Now, a work truck is a different breed. It tends to have plastic or rubber floor mats, not the nice nice carpeting one. You're not talking about plush seats and Bose surround sound systems. These things are built and designed tough to handle what it is you're going to dish out on a work site, or even if you're just driving from house to house as part of your HVAC or electrical or pest control job. The reality of the situation is you need a truck that's going to be dependable, going to be reliable, and is going to be there for you, and that's what work trucks specializes in. Work Trucks with an X, LLC.com, WorkTrucksLLC.com on the World Wide Web, or in person, 2324 3rd Avenue South. They are all about trucks. Let's welcome Dr. Andy Sokol to the Birmingham Broker Hotline. Hello, Dr. Aubie, and how are you, my friend?
Hello, Richard Dixon. Happy Friday, happy Friday, happy Friday.
Dr. Andy here texts me earlier this week that he has figured out how to hook up his surround sound to music in the bedroom. I guess this is your first surround sound system, right? You've never had one before?
Well, this is the first true surround sound. I've had a sound bar with a subwoofer, but not the background speakers.
Right.
And so since I got the new Jumbotron in the bedroom, and they came out and they put the sound bar and the subwoofer under the bed,
little woofies.
On the back side, and I've learned how to download these apps on my TV.
Oh, they're fantastic, aren't they?
They are, because things that you have on your phone, you now have on your TV. And one of them is Amazon Music. That's the music source that I use. And I've got great playlists. And so I said, I wonder if I can. And so I downloaded the Amazon app on my TV. And then it's got the subwoofer. It's got the main speaker. It's got the little woofies in the back. I'm telling you, you thought Styx was sitting on the bed playing a heck of a concert. It cranked. It vibrated. It rocked. I was in hog heaven.
It's really amazing. I have been doing that in my media room, which has the best surround sound in the house. The bedroom has pretty good surround sound, but the media room, it's the difference between X and, say, 3X in terms of quality, you know? And I was listening to some music in the media room the other day, and just as we were talking about yesterday with the difference between vinyl and CDs, I was hearing stuff in songs that I was like, there's congas in this song. I've listened to this song my entire life. I've never heard the congas before. Well, that's because they're separated out and they put them in different speakers. So you really get a chance to hear and get kind of enveloped in the sound. If you haven't done this at home, if you've never taken your music and put it on a surround sound system, you're missing out, because the vast majority of songs have been remastered in 5.1 sound, so that music comes out of all the speakers. It is really amazing.
Let me tell you the song that when I realized that this was going on in my surround sound room, I said, you know, I remember back years ago, there was a song that someone played for me on a surround sound system. And I think it's by Queen, but it's the theme to Flash Gordon.
Gordon. Savior of the universe.
Wow. That, I mean, you literally can stand in the center of the room and you hear the sound go totally around you. I mean, it starts at the front speaker. It's pretty fast, but I mean, almost made me dizzy to where I turned my head to see where it was coming from.
Yeah. It's fantastic. I really love I love what surround sound brings, because it shows you just how much of a movie is sound. As I mentioned, I went to the 50th anniversary of the showing of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid when it first came out. 50th anniversary, my buddy Chris Lawrence and I went down to the Alabama to see it, And there were just two speakers in the front of the theater playing the sound because they were using the original print, you know, out of some misguided slavery to, you know, to the old style. And I was like, oh, I had completely forgotten how much, you know, especially like in the river scene. Because I have the DVD of this. I have the 50th anniversary DVD remastered. And when they're jumping off that cliff and they land in the river and they're going down the river, you are in the river with those guys. I mean, it's really astounding what they've managed to do with what have to have been pretty crappy soundtracks back then. They recorded as best they could. But good Lord, it was 1964 or something, you know? Like they could only do so much. They could only do so much. Anyway, what else is going on in your life aside from a deep and abiding love of music?
There was a major milestone this past Sunday that I'm surprised he hasn't mentioned.
What's that?
Albie turned 42.
Oh, yeah.
The big 4-2 for Albie.
Yeah. Very impressive. 42 years ago, Albie had made the transition from the covers of our tickets and the covers of our programs, cartoon designed by Phil Neal. And 42 years ago, Albie turned into a costume and made his debut in the SEC basketball tournament. Mm-hmm. He was the first live mascot, fur mascot, I guess you could say, in the SEC. Auburn didn't have permission, so he didn't appear on the court. He appeared in the stands, bouncing around, that was 42 years ago. And then he was reintroduced during our first football game that fall. So yes, Albie turned 42 years old, and that means in 3 years we will have another Albie reunion, a reunion of all the former friends of Albie's, what they call us now, and it's always a zoo and a lot of fun because former Albies have a unique personality. it's a good time when we get together. But Albie turned 42 this past
Sunday. 4-2. The big 4-2. And you were there about got to be 30 years ago, right?
Yeah, I was Albie 9, and I didn't realize he was just a mere kitten back in 87 and 88, you know, and the program has just exponentially grown and developed. You know, when we changed clothes underneath the stadium, we changed in a U-Haul trailer, and we brought our own stuff. Well, with the notoriety and the financial backing we've had and the endorsements and our exposure, finances have allowed Albie to build a house underneath the stadium, near the locker room. And in that house, they've got indoor plumbing where the guys have a place to shower, cool off, go potty, a refrigerator. They have these fancy devices that when you take off the suit, you hang it over these basically stick blow dryers, and it dries the suit out. There's closed circuit television inside Albie's house, so the guys can watch what the other guy Albies are out on the field doing or what the game's going on. So it's like a command central.
Is there also like a large ball of yarn for Albie to play with just during the off time?
No, we have a giant litter box in there.
He's just a really big cat. So it's anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But you know, the years of development and Albie's versatility as a mascot and the financial backing that the university, athletic department, and alumni center have put into us, we are the premier mascot program in the country.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've had Alabama fans tell me quietly, Albie is best mascot hands down, not even close. So it beats the hell out of any other mascot in the country, in my opinion.
Did I ever tell you Albie was the reason Big Fat Al had to go on a diet? when Albie started winning national champion mascotting, the University of Alabama goes to Big Fat Al and goes, "Hey, what's up? He's winning and you're not." Well, they had to revamp Big Fat Al's costume.
Sure.
So he had more versatility and more personality. If you look at the old pictures of Big Fat Al, his head was much bigger. his trunk came out totally different than it does now. I mean, it looked like right now they've got it in a stocking, so it kind of slings down. And he's got more personality in it.
Right.
But most importantly, Big Fat Al is full of a big old hula hoop. And so back then, the hula hoop was an average size of what a hula hoop is. They had to get a smaller hula hoop so Big Fat Al didn't appear so fat, so he had more versatility to it. So
brought it down to a children's size of hula hoop. Yeah,
right. Whenever a former Albie sees Big Fat Al, we always go, hey, the reason you went on a diet is because of Albie.
Big Fat Al. Big Fat Albert is what you mean.
No. You know, it's like I don't say Tuscaloosa, I say Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
And it's Big Fat Al.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not going to say it, but I've been told Big Al is stupid. But, hey, I don't
Ouch.
Know that.
You've been
I've
told
never
that.
Given him a test.
Ouch. Ouch. Why you want to go down that road? You know, David Sears was a member, a proud member of the Crimson Tide football team under their most fabulous coach, Mike Shula. I'm sorry. I thought I could get through that. Bless
your heart. And Franchoni and Price for a semester. So, yeah, I had a fun time at the University of Alabama.
Yeah.
Hold on, if you would. We got to take a quick break. We will hurry back, though. It is Richard Dixon. It is Dr. Aubie. That is Andy Sokol of Caldwell Mill Animal Clinic. If you have animal questions, we try to squeeze those in and amongst all of the other things that we do when he pops on. So stick around. Richard Dixon, Talk 99.5. Talk 99.5, talk99.5.com. Before we get back to Dr. Aubie, I got to check in with Rosie in Cropwell. She called a few days ago and gave up on me because I was on some sort of diatribe, and I felt bad about making Rosie hang up before I got to her. So now I feel responsible for you, Rosie, because I'm like, she doesn't have that much longer on this earth. She shouldn't have to waste it on hold. That's what I'm saying. That was uncalled for, wasn't it? That was not cricket. Anyway, what is on your mind, my dear?
Hey, you guys. You know my great taste in music. I mean, I'm the one that turned you on to the Youpers, you know, about
Deer
Camp.
Yeah,
yeah, that great piece of work. But anyway, I heard this song the other night. It was later in the middle of the night. I don't know. I got up. I got whatever was on the radio. I just got up and scrolled, and I found this song. Okay. I think my dog's a Democrat.
Oh, yeah. I know this song. I'm familiar with this song.
Have you heard it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was all the rage a few years ago. The guy who wrote it is pretty funny. It's basically about how the dog is completely dependent upon him for everything.
Yeah, I just loved it. I mean, I didn't hear it before. But I'm too busy listening to you to catch it on the radio.
I was going to say, you're not really on the cutting edge here, Rosie. Let's face the facts here. You can't even finish a whole peep, all right? It's just like you get two-thirds of the way through a peep. You're like, I am so full. That's enough for me.
Well, that's a lot of sugar to chew in one sitting. So.
It is indeed.
But yeah, did you like that song?
Yeah, I thought it was funny. Absolutely. It was making the rounds. It was all over social media. Like I said, probably about four years ago. And I heard it so much I got kind of worn out on it. But yeah, I'm sure if I refreshed my memory, I would find it funny once again.
Was and by the way, there's fresh peeps in the aisles at the store, and I got some of them.
I'll rush right out and pick some up, Rosie. You know me and peeps. I just love them.
Good stuff. You don't care for jelly beans?
Oh, I love jelly beans.
Jelly beans.
I'm crazy about jelly beans.
And you and I like the black ones because we like them. So anyway, alrighty, thank you.
You're quite welcome. Thank you, Rosie. Have a lovely day. Dr. Aubie is hanging out with us, and Thomas is in Birmingham and wants to talk about Big Al. And Aubie, what is on your mind, Tommaso?
Hey, man. How are you today?
I'm exquisite, as always. Dr. Andy can speak for himself.
Dr. Andy, how are you?
I'm great, great, great. Thank you for asking.
Hey. I gotta say, I'm glad to see at least something in Auburn's football program's doing good, like the mascot. Roll Tide.
Hey.
Well, he's not wrong.
We're an equestrian and gymnastics school now.
That is not something to be proud of. No, definitely holding out for better days ahead with Brian Harsin. He's obviously got a couple of years to work under his belt here to see if he can't bring this program back to greatness. We've struggled, and you know, Dr. Andy, you know what I want? I've said this before. It's not a big stretch. I want back-to-back 10-win seasons. You get me back-to-back 10-win seasons, I will have hope again. In the meantime, I'm not really that excited.
Well, and again, we are looking to build a program back. Let's do what Pat Dye did. Lay a foundation, set up a system, set up a recruiting evaluation talent, develop the talent. And you're right, let's have back-to-back winning seasons. And that's what Coach Dye built in there. I love some of the previous coaches since Coach Dye, or the coaches since Coach Dye, but they sometimes are one-hit wonders. Hello, Nick Sabe. I mean,
Gene Chizik, yeah.
Nick Fairley and Cam Newton. I love the success that we've had, but they've been one-hit wonders. And I'd love to rebuild what we have again, what we've had, and have a program. You remember my comparison of our new coach and Coach Dye in 1982. You know, Auburn was very low, and Bear Bryant was very high. And he came in, he was young, he was hungry, he was wanting to prove himself. Well, we're in a similar situation. Auburn is very low, and Nick Saban is very high. And I want to bring in we've brought in a young, hungry coach wanting to prove himself, and let's rebuild it. I don't expect great things this year, but I want to see great direction.
Yep.
When Barfield left, he was 5-6 on his last season. What you don't remember is Pat Dye's first season was 5-6. But each one of those losses, you were like, oh, my gosh, we're about to be great. We lost to Georgia that year, and we gave the team a standing ovation because you could see just how far we've come. And, again, that's what I want. Let's have some direction. And as you said, back-to-back 10-win seasons means we've built something.
We're at least on the way. Let's check in with Tom in Trustful. Tom, you are on Talk 99.5. You have an answer to the big stupid question of the day. At what age did you finally feel grown up, and why?
All right, first off, to Dr. Andy, I want to ask him real quick, and then I'll do the big stupid question. Has he listened to Borrowed Time from Cornerstone through his surround yet?
No. But I will make sure that's what I do as soon as we get off of this, off of the radio show. Borrow Time by Cornerstone.
You know the song. It was it got a lot of radio airplay, and it has the keyboard interlude in the beginning, and then it has it's a jammer, it's a rocker, and then it goes into in a middle section where it's like yes, no. Okay, that's going to be all over you. You're going to be looking around. Who's saying, you know the song?
I'm going to check this out, too. I'm going to check this out, too, in my surround sound system. Now that you mentioned it, I'll take a listen.
Okay, cool. All right, my answer to the big stupid question is when I got my first apartment at age 21 in Southside we were going to go to me and my cousin. We were about the same age. And we moved over there so we would be close to UAB, and so we could, you know, go to school. We were close to the campus. And we moved into Mountainside Apartments, used to be penthouse apartments.
Oh, yeah. I know where they are. Yeah.
And realized that we were not going to make it through school living in that apartment. People coming over at 4 a.m. and saying, hey, let's go to Norm's. And we did with 8 o'clock classes. And the repercussions of that, of failing out of school that first quarter and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Picking our own phone number, getting utilities in our own name, or my name, actually, was when I first felt like that was grown up.
So nice.
That's that.
Ah, very good. Very good. Glad to hear it, Tom. Thank you for the call. Hey, by the way, it's not just those that live, you know, near campus or, I mean, I had the exact same college experience. I didn't fail out, but, you know, staying up until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning knowing full well you had an 8 o'clock class, that was just the norm back in my day. And probably you too, Dr. Robbie. You don't have to say anything if you don't want.
No, I'm such a morning person now, but in college years, it was a night person. Don't get me out of bed early and You had to.
I went to an American political history class that I was at 9, I think it was 9:10, 8:50, something like that. It was my first class of the day. I had it Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I went Monday. I went Wednesday. I never went back until midterms because I could not drag myself out of bed that early. I went in for midterms. I got a B on the midterm. I skipped the rest of the class. I didn't follow the syllabus. I read the books and all that stuff. I just couldn't get my ass out of bed. I went in for the final. I got a B plus on the final. I was like, good enough. I'm done. We're walking away. That's good. We're going to put that one down as a win. Lloyd is in Tuscaloosa with thoughts on a speed trap. Is he still there? Lloyd, are you there? Can you talk to me?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's up?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's the story, man?
Enjoy the show, Richard. Yeah, I'm just letting your listeners know, going from Tuscaloosa to Birmingham, between mile marker 85 and 95, there's a state trooper speed trap. About a little over half a dozen of them in that 10-mile stretch.
Oh, my.
So let your listeners know.
Thank you.
They're blocking them on an overpass.
Gotcha.
That you're going under that you can't take the exit on.
Uh-huh. So try to keep it between the lines and keep that speed down, guys. If that's what we manage to achieve and everybody remains safe and alive, well, then congratulations. We've done a good job. Thank you for the call, Lloyd. I've never understood police being like, you shouldn't be telling people about a speed trap. Isn't the goal to get people to slow down?
Yeah. Is it against the law to flash your lights to warn somebody the cops are behind you?
I mean, people have tried... Folks have tried to make that case, but it gets thrown out of court every time. No one has ever been successful with the "that's against the law" warning people about a speed trap. Again, if the goal is to get people to slow down, then we're accomplishing that goal. If the goal is to put money in the coffers of Tuscaloosa or the state of Alabama, then you know you're going to be upset about that. All right, questions for Dr. Andy coming up from folks who have animal situations. And we also got to get Dr. Andy's answer to the big stupid question of the day. I'm interested. I'm intrigued. So don't touch that dial. First news is now on Talk 99.5 and Talk99.5.com. Beautiful Friday.
She moves without a sound. I call her on the telephone. She sends me there by 8. Tonight's the night she's moving in, and I can hardly wait. When she moves, ooh, I gotta say, Lorelai, let's live together.
To give you an idea of just how iconic this song is. This song was a hit when I was in seventh grade. It is 44 years old. It's 2 years older than Aubie. Imagine that. 44 years later, we're listening to this song still. I mean, rock stations still play Lorelei. They do, because it's a great song, and it's almost timeless. And you think about that, if you go back 44 years, which would put us where? 1977.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, 77.
Yep. So imagine, if you will, in 1977, listening to music that had been recorded 44 years before. Did you listen to a lot of music from 1933 back then, Dr. Albee? Is that something that happened a lot?
Only when I rode my car with my grandfather.
Right. Put on some Jolson. Let's party. Put on some Jolson and let's party. Let's go back to the phones. Chief is on the line with a question for the good doctor on the Birmingham Broker phone.
He's not anymore.
He's gone. It's over. He's done. That was it for Chief. He's finished. Yeah. All right, fine. Be that way. Then let's check in with Hawk, who is on a cell phone.
I've been watching television. All these millennials, they start sentences with the word "so" and "like." Have you noticed that? They cannot say a sentence without "so" or "like."
So, you have a problem with that, or is that?
No, they just don't know how to structure a sentence, and you just did it too.
What? Me? Moi? I would like never do that. I don't know what you're talking about.
And another thing I mentioned briefly, Cuomo is a plaintiff lawyer's dream because Cuomo comes on TV and tells everything he's done.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'll be interested to see if anybody does actually decide to sue him once he leaves office. I don't know. I mean, good Lord, they're trying to sue Donald Trump and Mo Brooks for the January 6th incident at the Capitol building. So, you know what they say.
I'm getting ready to get in the car and listen to your show.
All right, get on with yourself, man. Thank you, Hawk. I appreciate it. Let's talk to Dave in Woodstock. Dave, you're on Talk 99.5. What's on your mind, man?
Oh, not much, Richard. You was mentioning earlier about the surround sound system.
Oh, yeah.
And I've got an older Kenwood. The only problem is the subwoofer quit working and something's happened to the rear speakers. But anyway.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah. They had a format out at one time. It was a DVD format. It was DVD audio only, where it was certain albums were remastered in Dolby 5.1.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the only copy I was able to get before they discontinued that was a Doobie Brothers album. It's the one that's got China Grove on it. I'm trying to think what else is on there. And I tell you what, that thing sounded great with that surround sound.
Oh yeah, and yeah, it always does. If you have the ability to get at a musical app or something to listen on surround sound, pretty much everything is in 5.1 now. They've pretty much remastered everything worthwhile into 5.1. So and anything that's new that's coming out, they're absolutely mastering it that way.
Yeah, well, the Beatles' Abbey Road box set has a disc in there, and it's on Blu-ray format. It's Blu-ray audio.
Yeah.
And they have remastered Abbey Road in Dolby Atmos. And
I love it doubly. Count me in.
Yeah, and anyway, running it through the sound bar I've got and the three speakers that are working on the surround sound. That sounded pretty good, but
invest in some news. But you got to get that subwoofer working, man. Come on, you're killing me here. Without that, you got no bottom end.
The soundbar has a sub that works pretty good, and my son's old Bose sound system that he had in college is sitting down in my basement. I may drag it out and see if I can get it hooked up.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I love me some Bose.
He got him a good, got him a good sound bar. So he said he didn't need it any longer. So,
well, there you go. Marvelous, Dave. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. Have a great day. There's just nothing quite like that surround sound when it hits. And you know, my dogs will lose their minds. Yesterday, or maybe the day before, was watching a movie where within a rapid period of time, Dr. Andy, probably 2 or 3 minutes, there was the sound of a door closing, there was a doorbell, and there was a dog barking, and they were all in the rear speakers. They bounced back and forth from one speaker to the other, and the dogs would lose their minds. Like, where's that? Where is that? What's going on? Who's at the door? I'm like, we don't have a doorbell, you idiot. What are you doing?
I told you, the old Domino's commercial, ding dong, get the door, it's Domino's. I'd have to mute it as fast as I saw the ad coming up because I knew the dogs were going ballistic, and that wasn't even in surround sound.
Exactly. That's all it took was dogs. God bless them. Hey, Chief is back with a question for Dr. Andy. Chief, you're on Talk 99.5. What's going on?
Hey, Richard, how are you?
I'm exquisite as always.
Hey, Richard, thank you so much. I got a question for the good doctor. On his opinion on getting a boxer for a family dog, for a temperament and everything else.
Boxer for a family dog.
Wow. Let me start off this answer by saying at Caldwell Mill Animal Clinic, the number one dog owned by employees are boxers.
Uh-huh.
So all our staff loves boxers, but they can be a challenging breed as a puppy. So you've got to just be intensely training them on what's acceptable behavior and what's not acceptable behavior. They're full of energy, happy dogs usually. Now, the downside of it is It's a breed that is prone to certain cancers as they get older, and older can be as young as 8 years of age. That's the whole downside of them. Great breed. I love them. I would never own one, but my second favorite dog at Caldwell Mill Animal Clinic is a dog named Chuck, and Chuck is a boxer. So I have nothing negative to say except use intense training and just be aware they could have some medical issues as they get older in life. And they also have heart problems. Heart problems and cancer are the most common medical issues with boxers.
There you go.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Doctor.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. I'd say if you're going to get a boxer, try to get one like Gentleman Jim Corbett and not so much like Mike Tyson because he had a temper, you know? Let's check in with Paranormal. That just lays there, doesn't it? It just fell flat. Paranormal Johnny, you're on Talk 99.5. What's going on, brother?
You got it, man. How's it going?
I am exquisite as always.
As always. I actually have a comment and a question for the doctor. I heard the conversation about blinking your headlights at the police and to let people know there's a roadblock or speed trap or whatever. As a former cop, there's a different side to that story. I had an instructor back in the many, many thousands of years ago that said that we brought that up, and he said, think of it like this. He said, for everyone in here that has a sister, think about it whenever that sister was a baby, when she was a little girl. God forbid she gets kidnapped. Sometimes when you see a bunch of cops in a small area, it's not just a speed trap. Sometimes they're waiting for a bolo car to come through there. And it's a description of the car that kidnapped that sister. You blink those headlights to your people coming down the road, you may make that van that she's in the back of take a different road.
All right. Mm. A bit of a stretch, but I'll go with it. I mean, generally it's on the interstate and it's in a finite period of space where, you know, there's really no exit. So it's not like you can get off during that time. I've run across enough of these Paranormal Johnny where, you know, they've got a crowd of cops there and they just come whipping out. There's one guy with his speed cam, whatever, checking on people, the radar, and then he just radios in and goes, okay, this guy, that guy, get the, and that's one of the reasons they got a bunch of cops there is to pull them all over. I would like to believe in this day and age, if there's a kidnapped child in a car, there should have been an Amber Alert by now, right? I would hope so anyway.
Yeah, well, that's not always perfect as we've seen in the past. But, yeah, true I agree story. With that. A lot of them is, that is what it is. And but also, it may stop that speeder that was going to hit you down the road. So you never know. But my question is for the good doctor. I have a 3-year-old husky. And we have found a dog food through Chewy that she can eat. But that's all she can eat. Anything else that goes in this dog's mouth, she vomits.
Hmm.
I mean, we've tried everything from table food to other brands to just everything we can think of. Our problem is that, you know, she has to go outside. She's an indoor dog, but she does have to go outside for that. And while she's out there, she craves other stuff so badly, including food. She'll get something out of the trash and eat it. She'll vomit. She eats some grass while she's outside. She'll vomit. And it's getting to a point now to where her voice is actually starting to change. I guess her throat from vomiting so much.
Sure.
It's really starting to concern us. What is something we can do?
What do you make of it there, Dr. Andy? What could cause a dog to puke that much?
First, you're speaking my wheelhouse because Huskies is my favorite breed. Sorry, Marty. You know, when you talk about a vomiting dog that's chronically vomiting, you have to ask yourself what's causing it, and it can be something mechanical, meaning there's a problem with ingestion, chewing, swallowing, processing, and moving things through, or it can be some sort of aversion, like the body is just rejecting certain types of foods. It needs a full workup. this very well, this dog could just have a very sensitive stomach, but I'm not ready to tell you that until I see what his, you know, some x-rays, maybe an endoscope if it deals with that, and then trial and error on medications. Try this, see if this works, see if that doesn't work. This is something you need constant contact with your veterinarian. It needs to be worked up. Okay. You may have already had some of this done. And then if you've done the full workup, you may fall back on, hey, we've got to find the food that the dog's not sensitive to. There's a syndrome in dogs that's called malabsorption, maldigestion, and that can be causing that. Again, this needs to be worked up. You know, the two most common things as a veterinarian I see are skin and vomiting. And so you can get to the bottom of this or at least find a treatment for it.
You know, she's also, okay, she's also not a leash dog. She can't stand a leash, but she's a runner, obviously, because she's a husky. So we have to keep her contained while she's outside. Could that be something? Because she pulls on that cord and pulls on her collar. She has a very soft, thick collar because of that reason. But could that be doing something to her throat?
Well, it may have done something, or if the collar is too tight, yeah, that's a mechanical problem. And if there has been some trauma, that's where an exam with a veterinarian may be what we call a barium swallow, where we give a dog a form of a milkshake that shows up on x-ray, and you watch it go down, and you watch it get in the stomach, and you watch it go on the way through. And, again, that's looking for a mechanical problem on what's causing this. And so there's a variety, like I said, vomiting is one of the top two things I see in dogs, and there's the steps you take in working up what's causing it. Because this has been a chronic issue, and it's been going on for a problem for a while, there's steps you need to take to work towards this answer. And it very well could fall into a food sensitivity. But when I say fall into it, I mean that. You work up and you rule out all the other causes. Mechanical, there could be a partial obstruction in there. There could be a stricture in there. There could be intestinal parasites. The list goes on and on, but as a veterinarian, we start working down the list with the most common things, working down to the more what we call zebras, the ones we rarely see. And it very well could be a stricture or a problem with the throat. A barium series may give you that direction.
All right, sometime between now and the end of the show, will you give your numbers so I can make an appointment?
Caldwell Mill Animal Clinic, 205-991-7986. And I own a husky. I'm on my third husky. And when you talk about a dog that loves to run, whoo, child. The main thing I've learned about my Coda is when he runs, don't chase him. Let him go. Because it's a game. Once he's gone, it's a game.
Exactly.
And I just ignore it.
Exactly.
And fortunately, A, he doesn't get hurt. And B, he comes back. And if I need him back, he's listening to this. But if I need him back in a hurry, I go open the back of my SUV and start the car.
Oh,
he
says,
oh, we're going someplace.
And that'll do it every time. You just gave it away. I got to run, PJ. Thank you for the call, Paranormal Johnny. Give that number again, Dr. Andy, real quick.
991-7986.
9917986. There you go. All right, got to take a break. We'll hurry back and wrap this show up. Don't go away. Just the cornerstone song that was called in there, David? Is that what we're doing?
No. This is Dr. Andy's choice. You want it. These are the times off of Cyclorama by Styx.
Gotcha. I've never heard the cornerstone song, so I didn't know. Figured I'd ask. That does sound like Styx, though, like guitar work. 249. You know, if you get into an automobile accident, you feel... suddenly, you know, if you're the guy that has the insurance and everybody's unhurt, you're like, okay, I'm not happy about this, but it's going to be okay. because I've got insurance. You know, it's just that's that kind of I've got a net there. I got a safety net. If you find yourself in a situation where there's a legal issue involved, if you don't have that to fall back on, you are also, you know, at that point, you're like, okay, now I'm nervous, now I'm worried, now I have to do a bunch of research, now I have to be concerned because I need to do something legal and I don't know who to call. Don't wait until the last minute. Begin a relationship with Chuck Davis, ChuckDavisLaw.com. Chuck Davis is my attorney, 823-9992. He should be yours as well. He's a general practice lawyer, which means he handles a lot of things, okay? He can handle a divorce if that's something that's necessary. He can handle probating. He does wills. He's doing $99 simple wills right now. More complex wills cost slightly more. Personal injury lawsuits, medical malpractice. There's a ton of stuff that he does, and your best bet if you wonder whether or not he can handle the situation is if you find yourself in need of a lawyer, 823-9992, or better yet, call him about some other issue like getting yourself a will today, and then you'll have him in the phone. You'll be ready to go next time there's a problem. If he can't handle it himself, he'll steer you in the direction of somebody who can, and he is a sure bet to tell you whether or not you have a case, which is always nice. The initial consultation is at no cost to you, so you can tell Chuck your story for free and get some answers. ChuckDavisLaw.com, ChuckDavisLaw.com, 823-9992. No representation is made that the legal services provided are superior to legal services provided by other attorneys. Let us check in with Jack in Shelby. Got a question for the good doctor. Jack, you're on Talk 99.5. What's going on, man?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. It's not necessarily a question. I didn't realize until today he was an Albie. Doc Andy, do you remember who the very first Albie was?
The first year, 1979, was Barry Mask with backups as Vicky McGinney and, oh, I forget the last –
Barry was my second cousin. We went to Auburn at the same time, and I'm kind of like the earlier caller. I played too much, and after the first semester was out. So, I was talking to him the other day about this anniversary of Auburn. And in 78 or 79, a lot of folks don't remember. What happened to Auburn in Athens? At the Georgia game, Matt Murphy might like this.
Was he attacked by Uga? Did he get attacked by Uga?
He got attacked by the students.
Oh, that's just
they
wrong.
They beat him. They tore the costume apart.
Oh.
And let's just say Vince Dooley was not very happy with the students that day. But he tells that story. He went through, finished college, he was a political science major, and he tells that story of how he was in the wrong end zone of the field, and I believe Auburn was winning, and the students come across the hedges and attacked him.
Well, there you go.
They don't do that anymore.
No, but when your team is losing, the only answer, of course, is to attack the mascot. That's the only way to go.
The mascot.
I love it. Thank you, Jack. Thank you for the call, man. We appreciate it. Did they make you, Dr. Andy, did they make you remember the name of every Aubie until you? Like, you were the ninth one, so that was easy, probably.
No. It's not like a fraternity that you got to remember all your brothers. But you pretty much know the guys a few years before you and a few years after you. So when you go back to these reunions and you got now 43 sets of mascots, it's kind of segregated into ages. The guys, you know, our age group all are together because we knew each other. We're catching up where there's younger groups, but everybody still has an Albie personality. You know, we're a little bit out of the box. We're a little bit loud. We have a lot of fun and a lot of energy, and it's a happy, happy, fun reunion. And we still, all 43 years of us, still love what we consider Albie's mom. Dr. Debbie Shaw put many, many, many years into Auburn University, and Albie was her love and her baby, and we still consider her Albie's mom. Again, when I was Albie, one of the years, I got the flu, and I didn't know what to do. So what did I do? I called Debbie Shaw, and I said, I'm sick, I don't know what to do. She says, I'll call you right back. She hangs up the phone, she calls me back. All right, I got your doctor's appointment here, you're going to go here, and I want you to go to the grocery store and get this and get that. So she is always taking care of all of us, and we all have a great love and respect for Debbie Shaw. And as the gentleman mentioned before, Barry Mask, he was the first. He laid down a foundation. He set up the basis of the program and the personality, and we have all built off of that throughout the years.
Beautiful. There you go. Waxing eloquent about his years at Auburn. There's Dr. Andy Sokol. Thanks for joining me, Doc. We'll do it again on Tuesday. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Thank you, and War Eagle.
All righty. Leland Live comes your way next. I'll be back on Monday at noon. Talk at you then. Richard Dixon, Talk 99.5. Bye-bye now.